Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
We're doing it live. We're coming at it. We're coming at this one raw, baby.
We're late, is what we're saying.
On this one, we are running late.
Yeah, we didn't have the ability for both of us to be in a room together while the sun was out until now.
That's true. And you know, when we do nighttime recordings,
I hate it.
I hate it too. It get the energy in the studio. It's either shitty and tired.
Or you know what it is?
It's frisky as hell.
It's because we used to do Rose Buddies.
Yes.
We would watch 3 hours of The Bachelor.
Right.
And then we would sit down in front of the microphone and record for another like hour and a half.
Right.
And
who's got that kind of time?
After 10 p.m., I'm angry.
It's unthinkable.
I'm angry.
Rachel gets really mad at 10 o'clock. She's like a gremlin.
Yeah.
But like 2 hours earlier, and you don't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to do water. You don't have to feed.
No.
At 10 o'clock, it's full.
If you ask me a question after 10 p.m., the answer is I'm tired.
One time we were having a conversation about, you know, having kids, peace and love. It was 9:59, and you were like, I just am filled with gratitude every day when I let bed. And you like yell bed at me.
Yeah.
So we're coming at this one with, I would say, maybe the least amount of preparation.
Yeah.
That we have done for an episode, because we have about 40 minutes before I have to record another thing.
Yeah.
And you have a thing. And so this one's going to be just fast and loose. We're just having fun with it.
Small wonders.
Do them. Did we do them on this show?
I'm going to say jury duty.
Gosh dang it.
Ha ha ha.
What a fun and wild show this is.
It's on, for those of you who are like, I've heard that it is on Freevee. That is not anything I know about. Amazon Prime will do
you. Amazon Prime will get you there. We don't know what the relationship is between Freevee and Amazon Prime.
Nobody does. You'd have to look it up, and who's got the time?
Who's got the time? No, nobody.
I had heard about this. I knew that James Marsden was in it. I didn't know anything else about it other than it featured members of a jury.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting premise, and it seems to be done really well.
Yeah, the premise is that it's all fake. Everybody's an actor, and it's a fake court case.
Yeah.
And everybody's an actor in it, except one dude named Ronald.
Yeah, who thinks he's on a real jury with a real case.
In a documentary being filmed about jury duty.
And James Marsden plays himself.
Yes, and he is putting on a clinic, I would say. What a tightrope walk.
I was telling Griffin, it reminds me of like the Rob Lowe character of like, I'm kind of insufferable. I'm an attractive man and an actor, and I want to make sure that you know how silly actors are.
Yes. I think that that's a really hard thing to pull off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fake acting that he does as he's like reading for this. Essentially, made up Quentin Tarantino film that he is trying to get cast in called Lone Pine. And he does a lot of bad acting as he like auditions for it with help from Ronald. And that is so hard. Doing bad acting as an actor, pretending to be yourself without giving that away to the other. There's layers upon layers. He is absolutely amazing in it. And the dude, Ronald, is like such a good, like, dude.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to hear the premise and say like, oh, that sounds mean. That sounds cruel.
Yeah.
But it's genuinely very up. They give him so many opportunities to shine and succeed.
Yeah, he's really the hero. Like, he makes these like really honorable choices a lot of the time, which kind of saves the show in a lot of ways. I haven't looked into what was involved in casting him, but
yeah, I can't imagine.
But it seems like they picked somebody that was going to just shine in every circumstance.
Yeah. Oh, that was your thing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it can be your thing too.
No,
I kind of knew that if I said it, I would be stealing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Know what I'm going to say?
Okay.
I'm going to say this gigantic desk mat that I have, new addition to the studio. I don't usually rock with mouse pads. I haven't had a mouse pad in forever because they get gross.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. But instead, I got this like 2 foot by 1 foot, like kind of wool desk mat that all my shit sits on. And it's, for me, it's just like, now it's a giant mouse pad.
It's kind of like a little carpet for your desk.
It's like a little carpet for my desk. A
little area rug.
And, you know, when I'm gaming,
uh-huh,
I can't have the grain of the desk wood.
No.
Interrupting my, you know, pixel perfect fucking Counter-Strike headshots.
I had a real sense memory of like driving the mouse over a desk for some game, I don't remember, but you know how you used to have to like do that? Like you like push the mouse forward.
Yeah.
And it'd be loud, noise.
Yeah. You mean like the sort of horse hoof clomping, like, yes, as you brought it back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a video of somebody cleaning out a mouse with the little ball where you had to pop it out, yeah, and like toss this little heavy rubber ball, uh-huh, in like a tub of acid. I don't know. I was never on mouse cleaning duty at my home, although probably that one should have been all hands on deck just because, you know,
yeah,
a lot of grubby hands fighting for the same
amount of
mouse.
Time, like,
yeah,
that mouse was always in use, I imagine.
Always getting, you know, EverQuested or whatever.
Anyway, you watched a video of a mouse being cleaned.
Yeah.
Was there a story?
It just took me back, man. I go first this week.
Okay.
Again, no prep on this episode. No prep this ep. And sometimes that can be a fun energy. Tomorrow, as we're recording, this is Thursday morning as we record this, we're going to be getting a new Zelda game, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which is the follow-up to 2017's Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, widely considered by a lot of people to be maybe the greatest video game of all time. So I'd like to... You dropped your phone.
I know.
You were so cash. I wish you guys could have seen this. This was like serial killer. Like a phone slips out of your lap and you just did not break eye contact with me.
I wear exclusively slippery pants now.
That's true.
Like I anticipate but this I like kind that. Of casualty.
Sure.
Zelda.
Zelda. Series is near and dear to my heart and my wrist. It is tattooed upon me.
I have never played Zelda.
Yes.
I don't really know anything about it.
Can I say something? I think it would not be the worst transition from Stardew, uh-huh, Valley for you.
No, and now that I'm thinking about it, yeah. I mean, not only is the graphic situation similar, but...
Oh, depending on what game you're playing,
yeah,
obviously.
True. I'm thinking like old Zelda,
like Link to the Past Zelda. No, I mean the new Zelda games. I think you could handle it. I think you're ready for navigating the 3D
Ooh,
space.
I don't know, man. Sword.
Okay, don't sell yourself short, man. I feel like you are always trying to under thunder yourself when it comes to your video game skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I live with 100% gamer.
Yeah.
And so it's
hard. I would say at this point, you live with 2 100% gamers.
Yeah, that's true. So it's hard to feel like.
And Gus has shown symptoms.
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
I don't think.
A curiosity.
Yeah, a curiosity for sure. Yeah, no, Henry already has this kind of innate knowledge of what buttons to press in any situation.
It's incredible to see.
And I am paralyzed. I'm like, which one does the thing? I have to hit the bumper now?
Yeah, the bumpers can be confusing.
Zelda.
So Zelda's been around for a very long time. It came out, the first game, The Legend of Zelda, came out on the Famicom, the NES in Japan in 1986. First came to the States in August 1987, just a few months after I rolled up. They were like, we got something for you, little baby. We got something for you, little three-month-old baby. It's called The Legend of Zelda. You're going to love it someday. And it was pretty much instantly a hit. It was revolutionary in a lot of ways. There wasn't really anything like it when this game first dropped. Fun fact, it was the first like cartridge-based video game that you could save like your game on.
Really?
It was the first game, because back in the cartridge era, like you needed an onboard battery in the cartridge to like handle saves. And Zelda was the first ever cartridge-based game to have that. And obviously, like, that changed virtually everything. Up until that point, you think about like early Mega Man games. Those were pretty big games, but after you like beat a boss, it would show you a password on the screen, like a 16-digit password.
Oh,
and then you would have to write that down, and then the next time you turn the game on, you would have to punch in that password in order to like get back to where you were. Zelda sort of changed all that, and in doing so allowed the player to like explore a gigantic, for the time, gigantic world, go on this huge quest, go through these 8 massive dungeons, find all these items, explore, find all these secrets and hidden unlockable boosts for Link. And it was just a pretty massive step forward in kind of like what you could do in a home console game. Obviously, there were like PC text-based adventure games that were, you know, that would take you 1,000 hours to beat. But this was on NES, which was, you know, a whole different ball game.
Is this the kind of game where you could, like, you know, beat it, but then still go back and have stuff to do?
In fact, the very first Zelda game had a second quest. If you beat the game,
whoa,
you could go back in and play, like, a harder version of the game, which was also pretty, like, pretty wild, pretty revolutionary. I was obviously like way too young to appreciate this whenever Zelda first came out. I don't even know when we got Zelda in our household because I was very little.
You don't remember a time without Zelda.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
For me, it didn't really become a like major concern until The Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo, which was like the, I want to say, third mainline Zelda game. And I remember this was back in the day when we didn't have like money for spending on just whatever.
Yeah, 3 boys, you guys had to, you know, wear clothes and eat food.
We did wear clothes and eat food. And so I talk a lot about like if we wanted a video game, we would maybe get one on our birthday. Or, you know, Christmas would come around and we could put some video games on our list and that would be our main way of doing it. Other than that, we would have a pretty sort of mercenary video game trade-in system at the local Babbage's where we would go and trade back our video games for store credit that we could then use to get new video games in a constant sort of depleting cycle until, like, by the end of, you know, middle school, I had traded down to, like, a single, like, Game Boy camera that represented, you know, hundreds of games that I had traded in over the time. But this was the first one that my brothers were like, hey, Griffin, you have some video games. We don't, because we fucking traded all ours in at the local Babbage's. You should trade them all in for Link to the Past. And I was like, I don't know, guys. This game looks a little hard for me. But then I did, because I was the youngest brother. And I didn't get much of a vote in the situation.
What a beautiful sacrifice.
Beautiful sacrifice, but it turned out to be worth it because that game kicks ass. And I got very, very into it. When the Nintendo 64 came out and Ocarina of Time came out, that was a huge, huge sort of moment for me. That was that's probably one of my top 3 favorite video games ever made. I remember I was racing my brothers to play it. I think I got it for a birthday, or maybe I traded in some shit to get it. I got the gold cartridge version of it, which a lot of the Zelda games have come out. I mean, back when video games came out on cartridges, it was gold and it had like a lenticular cover that you could move around.
Can I ask, do you still have this in a box in the closet?
Can I tell you something fucking infuriating? One of my brothers, I won't name names, was dating a girl and gave her the gold cartridge copy of Zelda in exchange for her regular gray cartridge copy of Zelda without even consulting me. Made this trade, I guess, because this girlfriend liked the gold cartridge version of Zelda better. Heartbreaking. That thing is probably pretty rare these days. Uh-huh. Cartridge-based games, pretty pricey on the aftermarket. So, and I'm not going to name which one of my brothers did it, but it was the one who had a not great girlfriend that and was also sort of in a pushovery mood when it came to doling out his brother's most precious belongings. Yeah. But I'm not going to name names.
Yeah, no.
Justin.
Yeah. I figured. Very generous spirit, Justin has.
Very generous, generous spirit, I would say. And
I'm sorry that that happened to you.
It's fine, man. So, yeah, I got really into that game. I played it with my friend Clint Wilson. We would speed run it. That was, like, the first game that I ever beat, like, a lot because we would just, like, get together on a Saturday, get together in the morning, not have anything to do, and just over the course of, like, 6.5 hours, just, like, beat Zelda front to back.
Yeah.
I remember he really wanted his own copy, and so I helped him basically write a book report about The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time that he could give to his parents to convince his parents to buy him Ocarina of Time so that he could get into it. And then we would call on the phone like, hey, man, I'm trying to sneak past these guards to get to Princess Zelda. I can't do it. What's the route? And I'd be like, this is the Nintendo Power Hotline. I got you. It's $1 a minute.
Can I ask, did he continue to game throughout your friendship, or did he fall off at some point?
Clint?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he major gamer.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
He, I mean, he did it in the same way that I used to, which is like I would pick one game and get fucking way into it.
Yeah. I just wondered, as a gamer, for me anyway, like for me it kind of peaked in middle school.
Okay.
And then in high school I kind of moved away from it, and I feel like there was a real division of like people who were like, I'm going to participate in school activities and honors classes, and I'm not going to game anymore. And I wondered if you
felt... Oh, that's interesting. That
if you felt that as like you felt that departure, like, oh man, me and so-and-so used to game all the time, and now he doesn't game anymore, and I'm sad.
No, you're painting with an interesting brush right now, saying that I couldn't game and take honors classes.
Well, I'm saying and school activities too.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't doing any of those.
Like after school becomes a busy time if you decide to join a bunch of clubs. And
no, I mean, I was always in a play, like, basically through from like second grade through high school.
Yeah, but with the handheld, if you're not on the stage, could you?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Sneak away.
I definitely completed my Pokedex backstage at a show. I got that Kangaskhan from my friend Travis Torlone, and he hooked me up, and that was a big moment for me. I didn't get the sort of accolades I was expecting because people were kind of like, you know, plugged in.
Do you remember what play it was?
What play was it?
I think it's interesting that you remember every
detail.
Oh,
it was an Easter pageant.
Oh, okay.
It was Easter pageant. This was not a play at a theater. This was at Choich.
Was this when you were Jesus?
No. Okay. In the Easter pageant? I mean, in the Easter pageant, Jesus gets crucified. So they're not going to do that to a child. You understand that, right? Yeah. When I played Jesus, it was like a musical.
Now that you say it.
And my crucifixion was like purely like off screen. I was like, I'm going to head out now, guys. Deuces. Enjoy the garden. I got to go, though.
Yeah.
It's going to happen off stage, but you know, right? You guys know the story? Okay, cool, cool.
As somebody with limited access to houses of worship, I forget about how things turned out for Jesus a lot of times.
Yeah, sure.
I always think it's like nativity, you know?
I mean, it turned out fine, right?
Yeah, I guess ultimately.
It was bad. There was one bad bit, but it turned out great. So, Zelda, I'm in love with this franchise. I think that it sort of encapsulates the Nintendo seal of quality, which was a real thing that they used to put on their games. And still today is like, if Nintendo puts out a game that they made, a first party Nintendo game, it's usually going to be pretty good. And that is, with a few exceptions, true of Zelda. And they represent a spirit of like adventure and exploration that is genuinely very magical and has a very, very special place in my heart. Like I said, we all got Triforce tattoos. Let me think. it was like the spring after mom died, we all were just wanting to do something like big and kind of sentimental. And so we, this video game franchise, you know, had meant a lot to all of us, and it had this sort of like three, power of three kind of iconography going on in it. And so,
did your dad play too? You haven't really mentioned his participation in Zelda.
It wasn't, I don't think it was like exactly his jam. Dad, played a lot of like Ultima and like those more sort of like computer RPG style things. He definitely played some other games mixed in there, but Zelda was very much like it felt like a me and Justin and Travis thing. And yeah, this new game that is coming out tomorrow looks phenomenal. It's building on a lot of the stuff that made the Breath of the Wild that came out in 2017, really fantastic.
Are you going to play it on the Switch?
Yes, that's the only system that it is going to be out on, because it's a Nintendo thing.
I'm just preparing myself for like looking over at you and knowing kind of what's happening over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, if you hear me, you know how I get like real into my games and I'm like, oh yeah, I got the Master Sword.
Like Henry does?
Yeah. I learned it from watching him. It's more fun when you yell at your games anytime anything good happens.
This is interesting about this new generation that like watches other people play games on YouTube is that they don't understand that like the people are playing games on YouTube and they're being loud because it's entertaining as a viewer. They don't understand that like...
Have to do that when you game.
Yeah, I feel like Henry thinks that like that is gaming, like saying loud things when you're playing a game.
You are showing your ass right now. That is gaming. If you're not yelling, and you can say whatever, I've definitely heard you while playing Stardew Valley, like, yeah, I got the cranberries.
It's weird that I use that voice.
Yeah, that's your gamer
voice. Like a Muppet? Like a Muppet
voice? It's your gamer voice that lives inside of all of us. And it's whenever you get the cool sword or the big gun or the cranberries in your case, that voice just comes out of you. And it's very powerful and it's very beautiful. And, That's The Legend of Zelda. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Good.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
And we're the host of Schmanners.
We don't believe that etiquette should be used to judge other people.
No, on Schmanners, we see etiquette as a way to navigate social situations with confidence.
So if that sounds like something you're into,
join us every Friday on Maximum Fun, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's John Moe, inviting you to listen to Depression Mode with John Moe, where I talk about mental health and the lives we live with all kinds of people. Famous writers.
David Sedaris, welcome to Depression Mode.
Thanks so much for having me.
Movie stars.
Jamie Lee Curtis, welcome to Depression Mode.
I am happy to be here.
Musicians.
I am in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm talking to Amy Mann.
Great to talk to you.
And song exploders.
Hrishikesh Hirway, welcome to Depression Mode.
Thanks so much for having me.
Everyone's opening up on Depression Mode on Maximum Fun.
So my thing just kind of came to me, you know, it is the season where school is ending for a lot of people. And when I was coming up with a topic, I was thinking about, you know, that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about a thing that as when I was in school, I didn't realize was so widespread. But I think in talking to you, I have realized is the graduation anthem.
Oh my gosh.
Like specific to your year.
Yes.
Like when you are graduating. And it's kind of amazing when I've looked at it now, like how often there will be a song released around that time period.
It has to be deliberate, right?
I there have
has
to imagine.
Be some record exec.
There's like a producer who's like, hey, you know what's really going to make this blow up?
Yeah.
Add in something about growing up.
Yeah.
So I found this.
Did your school, Huntington High, where I matriculated, had a, every senior class would design their own flag that had their own class colors. And then we had to pick an official like class anthem, and it would like go in the yearbook.
No.
I bet you if I could find my yearbook from 2005, it would have like all of this data in it. I know what our anthem was. I almost want to sit on it because it sucks so bad.
Well, I'm curious if it'll be on the list, right?
I would bet $100 that it is not.
Oh, okay.
I would be mind when the student council came down from the mount and was like, "Here is your anthem." It was met with like, "Wow, really?" I would be shocked.
Was it not like a timely choice?
It was a timely choice. It was just a weird one.
Okay. So there is a BuzzFeed list.
Okay.
That has every single graduation song from 1990 to 2016.
Jesus Christ.
You know, 1990, I thought, like, wow.
What were we doing? Was it too legit to quit? Like,
well, here's the thing. You're probably going to know this song because I feel like you have a deeper understanding of country music than I do.
Okay.
1990 was The Dance by Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
What song is that?
I mean, I know of it.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you were.
I wasn't like a big Garth Brooks. That was more my mom's thing. I respected it, and I gave her the space she needed to enjoy Mr. Brooks and Mr. Gaines in his time.
What I think is kind of great is that they also have a runner-up for each year.
Who came up with this list?
BuzzFeed.
Oh, okay.
Specifically to people on the byline for this BuzzFeed article.
Okay.
Hey,
I trust them.
Okay.
For shit like this, they're the paper of record. Where else would you go for this?
So I guess I don't know if you want me to go through every year.
Maybe just the hits.
Okay. 1991, Learning to Fly by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Which I think would be kind of a nice one.
Yeah, sure.
The runner-up, Shiny Happy People by R.E.M.
Again, like, I believe it.
It's not a vitamin C. Like, it's not like a clear...
Well, no, nothing is going to be like vitamin C.
But I like it. It kind of, like, sets a tone.
I love the song. It's a great track. I just don't know that it gets me walking out the doors of my high school with my, you know, cap and gown on. Just like, yeah, ready to take on college.
I like these a lot because it shows you how powerful a year was. I promise I'm not going to read all of these, but I want to go to 1992.
Oh, boy.
Which is End of the Road by Boyz II Men.
That was in 1992?
Yeah.
That song came out when I was 5 years old?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I would have sworn on a stack of Bibles that was like late 90s.
One of the runners up, there are several runners up, but there's another runner up, also a Boyz II Men song, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
1992 was a good year for boys and men.
And those on
and
their
those
way.
And those in the midst of a journey.
Okay, I'm going to skip forward to 1995.
Okay.
Which, as the BuzzFeed list says, is I'll Be There for You by the Rembrandts.
I feel like if your graduation song is a sitcom theme song.
I know, right?
I mean, there's actually a lot of really good options there.
Runners up include I'll Stand By You by The Pretenders and I Will Remember You by Sarah McLachlan.
So a lot of like promises in 1995.
Yeah, I'll Be There For You, I'll Stand By You, and I Will Remember You.
That's fucking great. I Will Remember You not winning is a fucking crime. I will remember.
I know. That would be the one, I would think. But, you know, if you want like a fun, like party vibe.
That song is fun. Don't let your life.
I Will Remember You.
Pass you by.
Isn't that the one they use in the like animal cruelty commercials?
No. That was.
In the Arms of an Angel.
Arms of an Angel.
Yeah.
Man, what a what a time.
Okay. 1998. It is a Green Day song.
Oh, Time of Your Life?
Yes.
That was 98.
Yes.
See, I feel like that was also more modern, but I mean, that is like that's like top five like graduation songs.
Listening to Runners Up is going to take you on a time travel.
Oh, boy.
Runners Up includes Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry.
Oh, oh.
Closing Time by Semisonic.
Oh my God.
I'll Be by Edwin McCain.
Holy shit, we were so wow.
That year, man. So here's the thing.
You graduated in 2000, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll get to the 2000. Okay, okay. Here's the thing. Like, I listened to the radio a lot. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, of course.
Like, for a long time, I just had, like, a tape deck. And that's, like, really, that's committing to something, you right. know? Whereas, like, listening to the radio, it's just, like, I'm of the moment right now, you know? And so all these songs, very powerful very for powerful. Me. Okay, 1999.
Okay.
It's the Sunscreen song.
The Sunscreen song.
Everybody's Free, in parentheses, to Wear Sunscreen by Baz Luhrmann. You remember?
I don't think I do.
It was like a spoken word, like
oh, yeah.
graduation speech style.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I think I heard that song once and I was like, this isn't for me.
Okay, we're
thank
at-
you, Bob. I'm more of a Skaggs than a Luhrmann. Always a Skaggs, never a Luhrmann.
2000.
Yeah.
This, I...
Rachel McElroy in her regalia.
See, here's the thing. I question the timing of some of these songs.
Okay.
Because I don't know if this really timed out with graduation. But 2000 was, in fact, Graduation Friends Forever by Vitamin C.
Okay. I believe it. That seems right to me.
I don't remember that being...
Is the runner-up Willennium.
And the runner-up is I Hope You Dance by Leanne Womack.
Ew, gross. God, Love is Blind has really,
yeah, I know.
Really poisoned the well on that one.
I think I might skip forward, although I do want to say for 2003, the runner-up, the 2003 winner is The Remedy, I Won't Worry by Jason Mraz.
Oh, sure.
The runner-up is You Raise Me Up by Josh Groban. Can you imagine, like, at a party, like, this is our song, guys.
I love you guys. You're going to Caltech next year. I'm going to Brown. I love you guys.
And just like all sitting around silently listening to that song. Okay. What is your graduation year?
2005.
Okay. 2005. The leading song, which I can't recall on title, is Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson.
Make a wish, take a chance, bring a change. And break away. It was like, I think I turn my wings and I learn how to fly. With you, I mean nothing with you by my side. Make a wish, take a chance.
Does sound familiar.
Make a change. That one?
That does sound familiar.
Thanks. I can't believe how much of that I was able to remember.
I know. It's powerful.
Crazy.
Runner up, Holla Back Girl. By Gwen Stefani.
Stop it. Okay. So we're having a little fun with the list at this point, huh, BuzzFeed? Because that doesn't necessarily inspirit a lot.
Yeah, I can't imagine a bunch of people being like, this is our song, guys.
For us.
Okay.
Huntington High School okay. class of
first of all, what was your flag?
So for your flag, it was, I can't remember if it was you got to pick your class colors. For us, it was black and pink. But that was the era.
That's wild, because like your school has colors.
Yeah, no. And then the flags would hang like in the main entryway.
Wild.
So you could see. And it had been going for a very long time, this tradition. And it was like a flower design. I can't remember if it was like all the flags were different flowers, but I think not. I think it was just like different designs and then the colors. And you class song. Ours was My Immortal by Evanescence.
Wild.
And I remember at our senior prom, they played that song and people had like arms around each other, like swaying back and forth, like you do at a senior prom when you're the graduating class. And I was looking around like, this doesn't feel right to me. Anyway, black and pink class colors with my an Evanescence song as the theme. That really, that is a moment frozen in amber, I believe.
Yeah, no kidding. It continues. As
are people still making graduation?
I have like, to assume.
Is Machine Gun Kelly out there with like, you're gonna say goodbye to your friend? I don't know what Machine, I've never listened to Machine Gun Kelly.
No, he sounds like that. That sounds right to me. 2007, Kanye West, unsurprisingly. 2008, yeah. T.I. and Rihanna, Live Your Life.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2009, Miley Cyrus. 2010, I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That would be a good one.
Good one. Yeah, great one.
Real party anthem. 2011 Firework by Katy Perry.
Yeah. Okay. So, we didn't lose our inspirational spirit.
2014, Let It Go by Idina Menzel.
I mean, Step Into Your Power, right? I guess.
Yeah, it just seems weird to be like, this Disney movie defines our year.
I mean, it kind of defined everyone's year, though.
I guess that's true. And what what I think is interesting, so I don't know, when did this list come out? The fact that it stops in 2016, yeah, so this list came out in 2016, so that's why. Because when you get to 2016, first of all, I don't know the song. This, again, makes me feel like a very old person. 2016 is 7 Years by Lucas Graham.
No.
And Runners Up, question mark.
Whoa.
So I guess.
Who knows? Maybe.
I mean, this list came out not just in 2016, but it came out in May 2016. So that's like in the moment.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Like tomorrow is graduation. We don't know what our runners up are.
Maybe that was just a dry year for inspirational music.
I don't know. I think what is interesting about this list is I don't know if you had this feeling, but when music
that tonight's going to be a good night. Yeah, no, for sure.
When music came out that seemed tied to like moving on to a different chapter,
yes.
You felt like, oh my God, this is only happening to me in my town.
I think Green Day's Time of Your Life is probably the, in my mind, even more than Vitamin C's Graduation, which feels a little too... It feels a little too, like...
I thought that about Wear Sunscreen, too. I was like, this is literally a commencement speech.
Yeah. But Time of Your Life. Another turning point, a foot stuck in the...
Yeah. Like, you went, the story with that song, at least for me, was that there was a principal at the elementary school I went to who was leaving, like he moving on, and he was pretty like beloved by the teachers and kids, and he like blasted that song from the PA system like throughout the neighborhood, like it somehow escaped the internal building, and
Jesus.
Like and everybody was like jamming all over
beautiful.
Town
that's
to
a
that,
beautiful
to
moment
that song
all of St. Louis was
yeah
was joined that day by the power of Green Day's inspirational music.
As he lowered his principal flag,
mm-hmm.
and everyone stood at attention. I like this idea of flags.
And then he was
flags.
Burned in a ceremonial fire.
I like this idea of flags. This wasn't a thing for me.
They were hideous. They were all so
Were they
bad.
Made out of flag material?
Yes. What's flag material? What's flag material?
Like, not like a t-shirt or construction paper. Like, the kind of flag that, like, you would see on a pole and be
flag
like...
Flag stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was just cut up other flags, sort of, like, sewed together.
Like, which
I think it's actually not great.
Yeah, no,
I
that's
I don't
a
think
problem.
You're supposed to do that. Especially not on Flag Day, which is when they made us do it. thank you so much for listening to this wet and wild episode of Wonderful. Hopefully next week, we'll be able to get back on, NexusLexus or LexisNexus. I can't remember which way that is.
Get to our journalistic roots. Yeah.
Research.
Multi-source.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our song, Money Won't Pay. Find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. We are going to be doing the Bim Bam and Taz in Columbus and Milwaukee next week. So if you live in one of those cities, please come out and see us. Ticket sales have been a little bit slow, and that would be cool for you to do that for us. And we'll do a fun show for you too, I bet.
Yeah. Griffin and I were talking about specifically Adventure Zone and like what a fun live show it is and how people might feel intimidated because they haven't, kept up with all of the episodes.
We have not done in campaign
live show. They're just
one off,
very accessible, like basically like watching people play like an improv game. But
yeah.
But
oh my God, but no, but it's good. But it's good and fun.
But skilled and enjoyable.
And good and fun. But yeah, that's coming up. So go to macquarie.family. You can find a link to that. And we also have merch over at macquariemerch.com. That's it though. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your patience. And thank you.
We didn't do a listener submission.
No. Like I said, we're coming at this one wet and wild.
Okay.
I don't even think I have time to do a dive. But just
well, let's come up with
wonderfulpodcast at gmail.com.
Yeah, please continue to send those in.
The signal to noise ratio, the amount of spam we get in that email address is frankly, it renders it almost unusable.
Yeah.
So we the more submissions that we get to kind of balance that ratio out.
Let's do one. Let's just.
Oh
like,
yeah, sure. Tyler says,
I love orange peel, and
that's it. That's all it says. It just says I love orange peel. Right on, Tyler. Hell yeah, man.
I get it, man.
Shine on, you crazy diamond.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.